My name is Michael Pettifish. I farm soybeans and corn in southeastern Minnesota, and I'm the current president of the Minnesota Soybean Growers Association.
Let's begin with the big news this week at Commodity Classic regarding Bill Northey being confirmed to his USDA undersecretary position, and the news that kind of trailed that regarding the renewable fuel standard and potential changes. Ag Secretary Sonny Perdue here today speaking, touched on that some. I don't know that he directly answered some of the questions about what might be changed within the RFS, but what was your takeaway, Mike?
Well, the Secretary of Agriculture assured us that they are 100% behind the RFS. However, you know, when you look at trade and when you look at the RFS and such things that are so vitally important to American farmers, it's important that we remain a little bit skeptical and a little bit on guard about potential changes to either of those two areas. And so I would like to believe the Mr. Perdue. I hope he's true in his word, but it is concerning when you have you know, part of the administration, EPA chief, you know, Secretary of Energy, Senator Cruz, that might not be as friendly to the RFS in one side of the administration's ear versus, you know, Grassley and Perdue and some people that might be more favorable to it. Given that Cruz allowed that nomination to go through, it appears some sort of deal was struck, but no exact word on what that is, so we got to make sure we stay vigilant and pay attention to what's going on there.
After hearing Secretary Perdue this morning, are you less uneasy about what's going to happen? And we might know soon. I believe there's a meeting scheduled for tomorrow, right?
Yeah, I believe there's a meeting tomorrow where they might have some announcement. You know, hopefully it's a win-win overall. One thing that's been kicked around is allowing year-round E15. I think that, you know, would add considerable demand to farmers, and it may relieve some pressure on RIN trading because there would be more volume of ethanol in the marketplace. I've also heard some suggestions that maybe they remove speculators from the RIN pricing structure and just allow people that produce RINs and consume RINs to trade them direct, and then remove the speculation to keep prices from being inflated arbitrarily. So again, we'll have to wait and see what exactly comes out of that, but I think E15 for farmers would be a win.
Let's focus in now on state issues, and as the legislative session begins, it doesn't seem like there are as many, I don't know that controversial is the right words, but prominent issues facing agriculture, but certainly there are some big ones still. What do you think is most important this time around?
So yeah, this legislative session was sort of gearing up to be a kind of a lame session, for lack of a better word. There wasn't a lot of pressing issues. You know, we are still looking to go to B20 on May 1st. We do expect some sort of legislative challenge to that by opposition groups, but we think we've secured enough votes and enough support throughout the administration and policymakers to ensure that we move to B20. But we're going to be vigilant with that and protect that. However, one unexpected thing is the recent budget forecast. Back in December, it looked like the state of Minnesota was facing a rather large deficit. And now some of the estimates are as high as $700 or $800 million of surplus. And this has opened up a whole new bunch of options in an election year as politicians look at what they want to do with that surplus. Is there going to be another tax bill? Is there going to be another transportation bill? Typically, they don't like keeping surpluses around. They want to spend that money down. And so if they choose to spend that money down, and once we get the final forecast numbers, we'll have a lot more idea of whether there might be some things in play that weren't previously thought to be in play this legislative session.
Where would the soybean growers like to see that money go?
I think one of our first priorities would be infrastructure, roads and bridges in rural Minnesota to help the free flow of commodities. I think after that, you know, taxes, even though we got that 40% school referendum, really with struggling economies in farm country, they still carry the lion's share of the tax burden and the school taxes in terms of property taxes. So maybe an overall reduction in property taxes or a push for house, garage, and 1 acre, something along those lines. But that would be probably our push for how to spend those dollars.
Are there some big question marks for agriculture pertaining to tax conformity when you look at what's happened with the federal tax reform bill and some of the differences with Minnesota's tax law?
Yeah, and that's something we've been working on in the background, and we didn't think we'd have a chance to address it this session, but now if they do decide to do a tax bill because of this excess money, it's an opportunity to push for some of those items within that tax bill, and 179 conformity has been top on our list. You know, currently the... Well, it changes all the time, so I guess I can't recall the specific federal number right now, but I think it was up to $1 million from $500,000. But in the state of Minnesota, it's something like $50,000. And so when farmers purchase big pieces of equipment and write off on their federal taxes, they still have a large Minnesota state tax bill. So, and it's just confusion all around. And so streamlining that, conforming it, it'll help save farmers some money and make the process easier on, in terms of filing costs and things too.
Before we talk about the 2018 growing season for you in southeast Minnesota, anything else related to policy that you want to make sure we touch on?
Well, I think people, you know, we're still working on buffers. That issue is not resolved in our opinion. And while it continues to move forward and we may not have an opportunity to truly fix it, it's something we haven't forgotten about. We're optimistic with a new administration or maybe getting the right people to look at the actual regulations or how ditch width is determined, that we can help save some acres for some producers. So that's something we're still working on. And then, of course, the nitrogen rule going to affect, you know, corn and wheat crops more specifically than soybean crops, but it will fundamentally affect how all farmers farm. And that's the proposed nitrogen rule, where they want to limit the amount of nitrogen you put on in the fall or the winter based on soil type and groundwater tests. So I encourage people to keep an eye on those things too. They may not pop up this session, but they are being worked on in the background of the administration.
And without being specific, I'm sure the association is carefully vetting the gubernatorial candidates leading up to the election.
Yeah, we try not to take too strong of a stance beforehand. We want to have the opportunity to work with all candidates, so we purposely try and refrain from being supporting a specific candidate pre-election, because we think it can taint the relationship once they're in office. So we do have our opinions, and we do know where they stand on the issues for sure, and we're happy to share that information with any of our members. But as far as endorsing a candidate, we refrain from that, because then once they're in office, we want the opportunity to sort of work with a clean slate with them.
Mike, I've been asking a lot of farmers here at Classic this week about the upcoming growing season, and I haven't framed the first question this way yet, but for you, I first want to know, are you feeling more or less optimistic about being a farmer this upcoming spring compared to the spring of 2017?
To be honest, I would have to say a little bit less optimistic. You know, I think markets are just a little bit lower. Costs have held relatively flat, maybe even slightly up in areas like interest rates and fuel. And so, you know, things are just getting squeezed a little bit tighter, and then now you're throwing on some extra uncertainty in terms of trade and the RFS with the national administration, and it just makes, you know, a guy stress out a little bit more. And so it's I'm actually more optimistic for 19 than I am for 18, because I think there's some marketing opportunities now, and hopefully, you know, throughout 18 prices costs will adjust. And so for me, I'm this is kind of the bottom. 17 seemed okay, and 19 looks good, but I think 18 will be a little tough, yeah.
So would it be fair to say for not only you, but probably quite a few farmers in similar situations that this year then could be kind of like a year of survival?
That's exactly how we're treating it. You know, we're just looking to, you know, hold things together. We're going to go out and do the best job we can, but, you know, we've had to make cuts in weed management or planting populations or fertility. You know, probably not going to trade equipment this year, not going to build new storage, and you're just, you know, going to try and survive this year and hopefully have some better opportunities next year.
Well, I hope this year surprises you by being better than you think, and that 2019 is a good year like you're hoping it will be.
Yeah, I certainly hope that for myself and all my fellow farmers too.
I appreciate your time, Mike. Thanks.
Thank you very much.